You are the magnificent obsession. You're everything, oh God. We love you, we praise you, we worship you. We bend our knee to you. We're ever, ever, ever indebted and grateful for your sacrifice of love. That we could learn to love more. Teach us, oh God. Teach us this day more and more what it means to look like you, what it means to go lower, what it means to open our hearts to more than you have for us because you love us so much as you call us to love ourselves so we can love one another. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father's love, Father's heart, you came to reveal Papa to us, oh Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we understand what that looks like as you have forgiven us for that estrangement. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Lord has given me a message on my heart I want to share today. Children to be free to go to Kingdom Kids, Kingdom Land. I just invite Junior High to stay in here today. But before we do, Mandy, do we have anything from the Brazil team? Guys, before we go?
I haven't seen anything yet.
Nothing yet? No. Oh, there he is. You okay, Keisha? We'll try to tell you later. So let's go ahead and go to Kingdom Land. And I'm excited about what God's going to do today in our hearts. Just keep us posted on that, if you would. Thanks. Jesus. Is this being recorded? Oh, happy day. We're in January. This is great. Very great. You know, as we look back on January 2013, we can look back actually with regrets, and we can look back and say, wow, Lord, teach me. Teach me through these seasons, through these times. Fill me up with hope so that I'm always filled, always overflowing with the hope that only you can provide, that only you can give. So this message that he's put on my heart is a message of hope today. As we go into 2014, as I said, we're already here. If you were here on New Year's Eve, just spoke Isaiah 35 over this body, over this house, which is a picture of the kingdom, which is the future of Zion also. And it's really talking about how to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And in different ways, how to go lower, how to walk on the highway of holiness, but in grace, so that we feel encouraged, we feel uplifted, we feel cherished, and we feel important because we are. We're so important, and we're so precious, and we're God's favorite, and he wants us to know that. And in a way that will be so practical that others will feel that and see that from us. And that's what he would have for us. That's what he would want us to grow in 2014. Because 2014 is a year of great increase. We say that every year, but this is a year where God is allowing us to go through a real refining process. And he wants us to be able to be so refined in such a way that the gold that we really are will be felt and seen inside more and more, and felt and seen by others. You know, that's God's way. So that as we're compelled by him to take a step towards people, stopping for the one and doing what he would have us do in all of those realms, that God would enable us to see why we're doing that and why we would want to do that. And sometimes it's the person right in front of us that we're not quite sure how to communicate that love to, whether it's in word or deed or both. And God is saying, I so want that to be the mark of your life. And I'm going to stretch you more and more and more in that season and that time. And I believe that's a season that we're in, which is exciting to me, actually. I wanted to read to you the message that I've given, and I'm going to be giving today. I wanted to read to you something. Proverbs 19:11. I'm going to start with this because it's talking about Jesus being a rock that would make men stumble. Jesus became an offense to people to be able to offer them himself, to be able to offer forgiveness. Hey guys. So as he became the rock that would make men stumble and fall, he was actually put right in front of people who would invite him close to them or push him away. They had a choice. And we still have a choice today. So when he gives us his word, he says, here I am. I came to reveal the Father's heart. I came to reveal the Father's love. I came to reveal myself to you through him. And I want to show you how that is. So sometimes we have ways of looking at what offenses might be for ourselves in our own natural worlds because we have all things that we encounter with relational situations in our existence. But God has been teaching us more and more what it means for offenses to be overlooked in a way that Jesus overlooked them and how that works and still maintaining who we are, the dignity of who we are. And so it's like, Lord, how is that possible? Because we know that you took everything. You became sin for us. You didn't just take sin upon you, but you became like us because we had a sinful nature. And when we have a new nature in Jesus, we're a new creation in Christ. Old things are gone. New things are here. Not a new message here, but I believe God wants to take us deeper in 2014 in that. And he's going to do something with that in this season that's going to, I think, be part of ushering in exactly what he's doing in northeastern Ohio and around the world. I was looking at a clip about 20-some seconds long that was posted on Facebook by a friend of mine that Heidi Baker had given a prophetic word back in 2010. And she was talking about this is time to push. This is time for us to prepare. Here it is, 2014. And we're still maybe pushing, but God wants us to push appropriately to bring about or to help in whatever it looks like to bring about the great outpouring in Ohio, particularly. We're not in Brazil with the team. We want to see the outpouring there, but we live here right now. And so we want to see that outpouring here. We want to see it in our lives. We want to see it in our families. We want to see it. Some of us may have been pushing and maybe pushing the wrong way, maybe pushing the right way and the wrong way. I don't know. But irregardless, the Lord says, let's push in love so that who we carry is so obvious to other people that we can lower ourselves to do whatever it takes to be peacemakers that God would have us be. Because when Jesus came to bring a sword, he brought his word because he is the word. And that word then would cut through things that would keep people from loving. And so that's what he means by coming and bringing a sword. He is peace, but he relayed himself to him so that the peace of him that was destroyed, which was all of him actually, by becoming sin and becoming like us, would be seen and felt by the world, and then the world would be led to be forgiven and repented. You would repent and then be forgiven. That's what God has through the Spirit. It's like, okay, God, well, that's what I want. I don't think anybody in here would disagree with that. Because that's scriptural, but I think how we go about internalizing that and doing that is something that we can grow in, all of us with each other, with the people closest to us, here in this house, here in our families, and then let that spread out. And how many of us know that the Lord always takes the long view? He's always looking at the bigger picture, and sometimes we can kind of micromanage some situations and think this is the end of the world, and God is saying, no, actually, I overcame the world. I'm going to teach you how to overcome, but overcome with love. So the verse that he gave me initially, and I have a whole bunch of them. You can put up Isaiah 53 if you would, please. in the message, but because it talks about Jesus. Proverbs 19:11 says, "A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is his glory to overlook an offense." And I was reading that, and I thought, well, it's easy for us to go, well, okay, fine, that person's offended me. But the Lord says, I want you to take a look at your own life. And he speaks to me, he's the Pastor Bill. Where would that exist in you? It's like, okay, always look at yourself very clearly first. And we can't even do that without understanding that Jesus became the ultimate offense. Jesus became a rock that would make men stumble. And so the offense that he became was so grieving to his father that they were separated. I just can't even get this, that a father who loved his son perfectly would actually not be able to be even in the same sphere with him because he was offense. That shows you how beautiful the Father's love is, how beautiful our Papa is, and how forgiving he is, and how kind he is, and how gentle he is. Even as Jesus came and overturned the tables in the temple and did different things, and you kind of look at that and go, help me understand what that is. And I believe that Jesus, just to throw that in just quickly, is that Jesus was displaying for us how offensive it is when there's a lack of love, perceived or real. Ultimately, it's only going to be real that holds weight in the kingdom. But if there's a perceived lack of love, then damage can result from that. And being who we are as Christians, if we understand more about what Jesus has done at the cross, and for us at the cross, then I really believe we're going to grow in this. And I know that that's where I want to grow. I want to increase. So I was standing in my kitchen earlier this week, and I had a picture of Jesus on the cross. And I was just really looking at him. And there was this encounter with him and this connection with him. And I said, Lord, just take me lower so that I don't feel bad about myself. I love myself in the sense that you love me and I'm your favorite. But I so want to understand more and receive that revelation from you that it grows me up to appreciate you and to have a heart of gratitude more and more for you. And then that won't separate my love for other people and me. You know, there won't be a separation there. Because the more grateful I am, the more releasing I am of who I am. I don't take myself as seriously, and I'm able to receive your forgiveness and the weight of your forgiveness more and more, and then release it to others. And then we have a divine flow going. And I believe that's the heart of Jesus. And that's the heart that I want to see moving more and more and more. And so, you know, I was thinking back to a story that, well, it wasn't a story, it was a true account that Heidi was sharing a few weeks ago at Roland's graduation, and just sitting there listening to that. And she was talking about someone going out in the ocean and on a little boat of some kind and trying to find this people group that were Christians, I guess, but these unchristian people group included there somehow were on the heart of the people that she was in the boat with, and the people she was in the boat with were kind of green, and she could have green in the sense that they didn't understand her world, they didn't understand where she walked, the level of forgiveness and love she walked in, but she felt compelled by love, and it might be in the movie that she's going to be showing, and that's coming out, Compelled by Love, that we're going to show here open to the community, and that's in process. Yay, yay. And so she had these people from another nation, white skin, she called them. They were burning. They didn't have their sunscreen on and everything. But she actually invited them to go with her to find the Christians that they wanted to meet, because she assured them they were Christians. Well, they were going through real, real, real hard times in getting there. There was a lot of pushing, okay, to birth what God wanted to show them in that time. And so I think back to her prophecy for this region about pushing in a good way, pushing where we go lower and we understand the cross more and more, walk in that joy, who we are, and relationally increase. And we do that to be able to birth what God wants. It's like, wow, Lord, that birthing can be messy. We don't like messes. And he says, if there is a mess, it's not for me. I want you to clean it up. if there is a mess that is from me, I want you to understand it and partner with it in a way that will bring redemption. So having said that, back to the dinghy or something, some kind of boat. So Heidi's with these people, and they finally get to this place. I don't know where it was. And she got out of the boat, and she was actually in the water, and they're like, ah, I'm not doing that, what am I doing? Where are the Christians? Where are the Christians? Where are the Christians? And she said, just hang on, I'm sure we're there, I'm sure we're there. But what she was looking for was what the Holy Spirit wanted to do, even in the midst of the pain and the struggle of those who were not seeing it. And the people she was with were not seeing it at the time. They were becoming agitated. They were becoming annoyed. They were becoming irritated. They were short-sighted. But she continued to love as best as she knew how, saying, come on, we'll do it. We'll get to the other side. You'll be okay. But it was extremely uncomfortable. So when she started walking, what happened was they were burning. I mean, from the sun, they didn't even have sunscreen, and it was not good. And she wasn't making light of that in her message, but she was saying they were getting a little scorched, but they weren't walking in the joy that she was walking in, because they didn't see what she was seeing. But because she was this leader in the body of Christ, a leader in love, she was compelled by whatever God gave her to keep going, and trusting that the people wouldn't bail on her going. And so she kept going. And they couldn't bail in that place because they'd be out in the water. So anyway, she's going and going. And then what happened was, it got to a point, and I'd have to re-listen to it to get all the details. It doesn't matter. But is that this lady who had been walking for 8 hours, I believe it was. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know where you're sitting. Right here? Oh, you're back here. Maybe it was more than 8 hours, but if there's anything else other than that, help me remember the detail. But she was walking, she had water in the hot sun herself, and as soon as she saw Heidi and these men, she got down and she took this water and she washed their feet. And she said, I think we've arrived. We found them. And it was a huge message to the people that, wow, this is what love really looks like. It was so self-sacrificing. It was so giving. It was so other-centered, not self-centered, but other-centered, that Heidi recognized what the Holy Spirit was saying, because she didn't know. She was just trying to follow him on the inside. And it was really uncomfortable, and it turned the world upside down for the people she was with, to whatever degree, I don't know. And then, as I recall, this lady went back several different times to get more water to keep that process going, and kept doing that to her own hurt, to keep going lower, bending down and washing their feet. It's like, wow. Anyway, I was really wrecked again, thinking, Lord, where have I not done that, or where can I do that more, and what does it look like? You know, what does it take? And he says, more of me in you is going to be a releaser for people. And release it for you. That's who you are. It's what you say you desire. And that's what you sing about. And that's what you worship me for. And that's what I'll do. And that's what will release the great revelation of the cross more and more. So part of that is understanding more of forgiveness. And a couple of the reasons that we will forgive is that we are asked to forgive is so that we can understand more and more what we've been forgiven of ourselves. It's going to lead us into that. And also to see what we're capable of. You know, but by grace, there go I. I could be doing anything anybody else is doing. And maybe I have and not seen it. But if I have, and God wants me to see it, he'll be sure to do that. If we want that. He wants us to take a good look without feeling condemned, so that we can understand more about his forgiveness. It's like, wow. And one of the ways I thought would be helpful for all of us, so that we could grow in that revelation of the cross, as I was seeing that in my kitchen, was to look at, in the message form, a little bit of Isaiah 53. Just kind of read that and go, Jesus, you're amazing. At least in my heart, that's what I feel. So you can say what you want, but that's what I feel. So this is Isaiah 53. Let's just look at it together, and maybe this will bring us into a place of more understanding of what God wants to do for the area. In the area of forgiveness, that will help us understand his justice. justice is really important because Father sent Jesus to justify us so that we would become as though we'd never sinned. What? So the extreme justice of the Lord was accomplished at the cross and through the resurrection. And he says, I want you to learn that lesson so that you can extend true mercy to other people. Not just speak it, but really extend mercy. And the way to do that is understanding more of forgiveness, because when Jesus forgave us, he extended mercy to us. We didn't deserve that, right? And so it wasn't based on what we did or what we didn't do. It was based on who he is and how much love he had. And so that justice that was taken care of at the cross is something God wants us to understand. If we don't understand and walk in the full capacity of forgiveness in receiving it and giving it, then we risk actually walking in injustice, which would be the last thing any of us would want. Think about that. Injustice is something that we would fight, right? When we're standing for against human trafficking or this, that, and the other, we say, that's not right. And we've got these hearts of, it's not right, I'm going to fight for what's right. And that's good, I'm going to go for it. Everything inside me, I'm going to fight for what you say, Lord. And he goes, good, but you got to fight my way. Because if you don't fight my way, you'll be fighting, but you may be wielding injustice instead of true justice. And God says, I want you to understand there. Now, we've talked about justice and righteousness being the foundation of his throne. And we can throw that scripture up and go, yeah, and believe it, and go, that's true. But he says, I want you to understand what that justice really looks like. And it's going to take a turn for us on the inside in the area of maybe the converse of it, turning it around and saying, what is injustice? Anything that's a breach against love. But let's go back to why Jesus came. Yes, he came to reveal the Father. But how did he do that? Through forgiveness. So this is all about forgiveness. You know, it's like, it's not good enough. Take my words carefully with that, because I'm not saying you're not good enough. But let's just say for all of us to just use those phrases and say, Jesus came to reveal the Father. It's his Father's love. All of that's true. And he says in John 8:15, you can cry out, call me Abba Father, because you have been separated from fear. No more fear. I love you as my kid. You've been brought into sonship. So therefore, you're free. It's like, oh, okay, Daddy. So I can cry out and go, Daddy, 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 Daddy. He goes, well, that's a good beginning. But do you understand what my son, who is justice, came to do? Do you understand? I'm going to give you many different passages in scripture to explain my justice, which is really extension of mercy to you. My justice was taken care of on the cross, so therefore you don't have to punish. And you don't have to be part of anything that feels like punishment. Because so if you feel like you're being punished, there's something wrong with that picture. And it's not from the Lord. What is that? The train's coming. Oh. So the true test of spirituality is not, it's being able to not point the finger at other people. That's the true test of spirituality, because Jesus didn't. He just didn't. He said to the woman caught in adultery, he said, what do you think about this? In fact, before we get into Isaiah, let me just say that. Hang on a second. The woman who was caught in adultery, according to the law, could be smashed and found wanting and actually dead. But let's turn to this for a minute. Let me read it to you. In John chapter 8, the adulterous woman. And it's one of my favorite passages in scripture because it's so much the mercy of Jesus. And he's saying, if you understand this in a revelatory way, meaning if you get it more and more, you're going to go lower and understand what it means to be pushed forward in real love. Hang on one second, I have to fix these glasses. And by the way, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if I can just point out, so you can read it later, that when Jesus talked about being the light of the world, it was right after this scenario. And then he also talked about, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right after that, and I just encourage you to read that, because it's going to take you into a place of understanding Isaiah 53 a little bit more. So anyway, in this situation, the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and they set her in the center of the court. And they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman's been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law of Moses, you commanded us to touch, to stone such a woman. What do you say about it?" It's interesting. In verse 7, it says, when they persisted in asking him, because they were trying to trip him up, really, and justify knocking her out, you know, taking life. He straightened up and he said, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." So he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. I don't know exactly what he wrote. But in verse 9 it says, when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones, and he was left alone, and the woman, where she was in the center of the court. And, you know, I've been thinking about that, and if I were in that situation, and Jesus did that, why, if I was a scribe or a Pharisee at that time, put yourself there, why would you drop your stone and walk out? What would it be that would be so compelling? What would you feel? What would you have experienced? And I believe that there was an experience, as I see it, and you can ask the Lord for yourself, but what I believe is that they experienced mercy himself. He was in their midst, and they couldn't do anything else but drop their stone, because they realized, not just from his words, but from the impact of the power behind his words, not the words alone, but the depth of the power of heaven in those words. They were life-changing, and they realized, oh my gosh, I'm seeing who I really am, and I'm seeing who he really is. I'm seeing what I'm capable of, and I'm seeing what he's willing to do. Who am I? And they were able to drop the stone and not accuse, point a finger, or hold offense in any way. And so they experienced a measure of spirituality they never had before. Apparently, something new. But it doesn't end there. Straightening up in verse 10, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" In other words, she looked around, and he's asking her that question. He's very prophetic. He is prophecy, so he knows the answer to it. But he's asking this rhetorical question, and she said, "No one, Lord." He looks around, and he says, "Look around, honey. Who's condemning you?" "No one." Can you imagine what she felt? "No one's condemning me. And here you are, mercy himself. And you're the one that released mercy over me." And so he freed her completely and these people. So here she's the one, the prodigal son in a sense, and the older brother in a sense, all experiencing mercy at the same time. If you read Luke 15 and you read the story of the prodigal son and the older brother, the prodigal son went out and did all kinds of icky stuff, and just thumbed his nose at the father, didn't see the value of the father. But the older brother was also jealous. "Why wasn't I lifted up? Why wasn't I this? Why wasn't I that?" He was very offended. And he didn't see the value of the father either. Both pictures. And to be honest with you, I've never seen that till just now. The Lord showing me that. I didn't see it this way to this degree. I've realized it's been the adulterous woman and the scribes and Pharisees, but the parallel between that and Luke 15. I think I'm going to have to talk to Pastor Jerseo, because we talk about these things all the time. And God gives us revelation like, "I never saw that before." Always be there, guys. It's humbling. It's like, wow, that's new. I love it. You know, it's like I've never quite seen the fullness of that. It's not that it's never been here, but it's probably a deeper revelation in my heart today. Let's put it that way. And he says, "You know, there's nobody around you." And she says, "No, Lord." And then he says, "I don't condemn you either." But he says this. He says, "Go from here and sin no more." He's saying, now that you have been free, because you've experienced my mercy, I want you to extend mercy to others. And you can't do that if you have offense in your heart against the ones who wanted to stone you. If you have bitterness in your heart because you got caught. I don't know. You know, there could be a lot of different scenarios. Whatever it would be, and certainly don't go back and do this again. You know, it's sin against me. I have mercy and you're sinning against me. And so he speaks to her very directly, but because it's mercifully offered, because she realized the fullness of what she was forgiven of, her whole life was saved. Her physical life was saved, but her spiritual life at that point. And so what happened? She was told by the Lord, as a result of what I've done for you, I need you to understand the message of mercy really well. And forgiveness is part of that, because that's why I'm here. Jesus is saying, and he hadn't even died yet. It's like, wow. So he was in the midst of his disciples doing the same thing. Can you imagine when he came back after he was crucified, and you know, Peter rejected him, and we know that, and cock crowed, and we know all that, and he said, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? We know that story. But when he came back after the resurrection and he walked in, can you imagine? Maybe the disciples had been thinking, what did I do? Did I screw up? Is there something I could have done? Was I part of this? Did I doubt him? Did I not believe? Oh my gosh, remember the words that said, I need to leave this earth and I need to do this. And remember when he said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Remember, who knows how they felt? Maybe they felt full of shame. Maybe they felt condemned. Or maybe they were self-righteous, going, so much for that. You know, I mean, nobody knows what was going on inside of his heart, their hearts. We do know what the scripture says, you know, in part, but we don't know the fullness of that. But what does Jesus do? He comes in and he says, peace be with you. Again, mercy himself, risen Savior and Lord, resurrected state, forgiveness extraordinaire, and they're absolutely launched into a new place that they can go out now and spread the gospel of the kingdom to the place in the sense that they're willing to lay themselves down easily and die. And maybe they were to a degree before, but after that, there's no shame. Jesus didn't point a finger and say, look what you did. But at the same time, because he was representing mercy, because he is mercy, they were able to feel as though they were undone, more than likely, just as Isaiah felt that way. Does that mean we can never say to a fellow brother and sister, hey, listen, this isn't working here? Because, you know, we're in this together. Here's what the word says. It's not judgment against you, but let's get out of this trap. And maybe we're in one, or they're in one. Either way, Jesus was trying here, lovingly, to be able to help people save face. He didn't come in and go whack to his disciples. Well, if he would have gotten it right at the Mount of Olives, you know, maybe things would have been different. Because it wasn't what he came to do. He came to go low, to teach us, to reveal the Father, and to reveal forgiveness. Isn't that interesting? And it's like, okay, Lord, how am I going to learn that lesson? In many different ways. Let's for sure take a look at this. I don't want to run out of time here. This might be a two-parter. We're able to do that. Not today. But maybe there'll be something that will touch each one of us to take us into that place of discovering more of how kind and merciful he is, okay? Who believes that we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God, a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him. Nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over. A man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and the people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him. Our sins. He took the punishment that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing, gone our own way, and God has piled all of our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. Can you put the rest up? He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word. Like a lamb taken to be slaughtered, and like a sheep being sheared, he took it all in silence. Justice miscarried, and he was led off. And did anyone really know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked. They threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he'd never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't true. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he give himself as an offering for sin, so he'd see life come from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, he'll see that it's worth it and be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burden of their sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch, because he embraced the company of the lowest. He took on his shoulders the sin of the many. He took up the cause of all the black sheep. Was that the end? Is that the end?
Yes.
Of it? Okay. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I didn't have another one more. And he took up the cause of all the black sheep, but he took everything upon himself, which was absolutely amazing. You know, and when I read that, it makes me cry more. And I want to cry more. Not because I feel bad and guilty, but I cry in awe of he did this for me. And anything that I have done that I've not seen, where I've transgressed his love, oh man, I want that to be made right in whatever way, so that his forgiveness holds the weight that it's intended to hold, so that I don't take that for granted. And so it's really important for us to understand that he did all of this so we could be forgiven. We couldn't be forgiven. We couldn't know the Father. We couldn't experience the Father's love. But that is the Father's love, forgiveness. So it's like, why does all that work? How does it all tie in together? Well, Matthew 18 is a really good scripture. And I think I have that up there. If you could put that up, please. When we get to 12:15, or 10 after 12, are we close to that? Let me know.
It's 12:14.
Oh, okay, thank you. Not that we're bound by time. I'm trying to be sensitive here. I say that seriously. I'm not saying that facetiously. In Matthew 18, you can read it when it gets up there. The king had a servant who owed more than he could pay back. And just to make it real simple for you, unless you're familiar with the story, or even if you are, the king had a servant who owed him a lot, and he was so indebted to him, and the king was trying to clean up all of his debt and his finances and everything. And this is a picture of forgiveness for us. This is a picture of what God wants us to see, because if Jesus suffered and became sin for us, he wants us to understand the depths of that more and more, so this can piggyback Isaiah 53 in the Message or any other form. When the king brought his servant in and said, "You pay up now, you pay up now." And he says, I can't, but I promise I will. And he begged him and he pled for mercy. Please, please, please. Well, he was moved with compassion, okay, the king. And he said, all right, I'll forgive your debt. And his life was saved completely. I mean, that's incredible. The king would actually do that. It's a picture, in a sense, of the Lord's mercy on us. He forgave him because he was moved with compassion. Jesus forgave us because he was moved with compassion. And so, is it up there? Did I not give that to you?
No, oh. It wasn't on the paper.
Okay, that's all right then. Well, I have it written down here anyway. So, you know, when this king was talking like this to this guy, he was ready to sell him off, sell his kids, you know, get rid of him. He was really ready to hang him. He was ready to bring or to see that something was going to be done to him. And that's the state that we're in when we have our sinful nature. It's not that God wants it that way. It's just that he provided the answer. He provided Jesus so that we wouldn't have to stay in that condition. So it was a picture of that. So he realized to some degree, but phew, wow, my life was saved. Thank you. But then God shows us what it's like when we don't really forgive, when we hold offense, even the smallest ones that come towards us, because they can build and create a wall and create something that can harm us. And that's what this passage is about. It's not finger pointing at us as Christians. It's for us to see how big God is and for us to be able to reconcile who we are to him always, so that the full weight of what he's done for us would be able to be felt and seen. And that's going to bring healing, it's going to bring restoration, reconciliation, it's going to release an outpouring of the Spirit more and more. It's going to absolutely drive us to a place of saying, God, forgive me. There'll be a spirit of repentance as we go lower and lower in that area to help us see what love really looks like. Like Heidi was saying in that testimony, she was saying that there's the Christian right there, the one who, to her own hurt, was willing to lay down and die and serve no matter what the cost was, no matter what it took, was not so short-sighted to say, wow, I'm in pain, this hurts. No, no, I'm doing this for somebody else because I'm recognizing the value of these people. So, anyway, so the same servant, okay, there you go. I think it's in verse 21. The same servant was offered the opportunity to see if he would do the same. And another servant, a fellow servant, came to him and said, I can't pay back the debt that I owe you. And this servant who had been forgiven from the king said, I'm sorry, buddy. No way. I will not forgive you. I will not forgive the debt. We're in debt. When we have this hanging over our head, and Jesus says, I have taken that debt off of you. You are indebted in love to me forever as a result. But you have a debt that you could not pay, and I took care of it with my mercy. That's how big I am. And so this servant, the one who was initially forgiven, could not forgive the debt. He wouldn't do it. He said, no way. And he said, I absolutely refuse that. Well, the king heard about it. And the king said, let's see if we can find the wording in here. Matthew, let's see, 18:21. Let's see here. In verse 29, I guess I have the wrong verse. So his fellow slave fell to the ground, thank you, and began to plead with him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. But he was unwilling and went out, threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you? And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Oh! And I believe that the Lord is not saying, look, I want you to know me as Papa, Father's love, but if you don't do what I'm saying, I'm going to skin you alive. That's not the message here. If it is, we need to quit. I don't know, because I can't measure up here, you know, because I can't do anything in my own strength. The message is, I want you to see the value of forgiveness, but don't make any bones about it. Forgiveness, as it operates as a principle in the world, for believers and unbelievers, if we cannot forgive, okay, fully, then there's going to be a response back, and we are not forgiven. We can't experience the forgiveness that brings the cleansing, the repenting love that the Lord gives us. We can't experience that. And what happens is we move into a place of being tormented, of being tortured. And God doesn't want that for us because he says, you're my sons and my daughters. I don't want you to be in that place of torment and grief where it feels so icky. But I certainly don't want you to offer that to anybody else either. And sometimes it goes both ways, that both things have been done. God is saying, I want you to receive the fullness of my forgiveness and extend it to other people. Because the Lord sees the bigger picture of what torment will look like for us, and he knows that if we're tormented, that we can absolutely start looking at people and situations and have not necessarily the same way of looking at it as he is looking at it. And he knows that that will bring us harm. That's how big his love is for us. It's like, wow, you're so kind, you're amazing, you're that loving. And God wants us to see that. And I believe, as I was thinking about this passage, and I was thinking about the ingratitude, or non-gratitude, whichever way you want to say it, but ingratitude that the servant had for what the king had done for him. He just didn't have a heart of gratitude. He didn't appreciate the fullness of what the king or Jesus had done for him. He couldn't extend the mercy to somebody else. He hid behind offenses, and maybe he had been offended early on in his life, but he did not understand. Who knows? Maybe he never had a revelation of the Father's heart and the Father's love to the degree that he thought he had. But either way, there was this struggle going on in the spirit. And unfortunately for him, the servant absolutely chose the wrong way. And God gave us this parable. Jesus told this parable so that we would see. There's something I'm trying to tell you about the depth of what true forgiveness will bring. And whole forgiveness or complete forgiveness is what he's looking for, because that's what Jesus did. If anybody in here, and I personally believe, knowing probably most of you, if not all of you, that every person in here would say, I want to become like Jesus. And I believe that the way to become like Jesus more and more, at least for my life, and I believe from these passages, is to understand the depths of forgiveness and receive it and extend it. And God will take care of other things along the way. There's no room in our heart to hold offense. There's no room in our heart for anything that would look like that, or that could begin to take us into a place where unforgiveness, because of the pain that comes from being stung, whether it's intentional or not intentional, is. And what happens is, if Jesus came to become pain for us as well. And when we go to each other, we go first to the Lord and each other as he would have us do it. Sometimes that's not the case, depending on the case, but many times it is for relational connection. God wants us to be able to do that with the basis of what he's done. And that's really going lower, and that's the compelling love. And there's many, many other scriptures. Let's see if I can wrap this up here. If you can put up 2 Corinthians 5:17-19, it's a scripture I mentioned, but 19, did I give you 19 also? I can't remember. Amber, did I give you 19 also?
2 Corinthians.
She's looking. If not, could you help her, Annie, maybe put that up if it's not there? 2 Corinthians 5:17-19. Just really want to offer this to you, and we'll pray, see what God will do. So I think going into 2014 like this is going to take us deeper in our personal walk with the Lord, understanding fully what he wants to do. And this message, I believe there's more to it. And just to be sensitive again, I want to potentially offer the conclusion next week, if that's what we do. If not, it'll be when we come back from Brazil, either way. But this is what the Lord has for me to at least offer, you know, to you guys right now to think about. We talked a lot about just different ways to handle life and godliness and all that, and living in December, especially with Christmas and holidays. It can be a very, very joyful time, or it can be a grieving time because there's pain. And God wants us to know how to go through those kinds of pains and not just buck up and get through it, because that's when the tormentors come. God says, I love you too much, don't want you to be tormented. Thank you. So 17 is not there. Yeah, we'll put 17 on there too, because that's part of it. Thank you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. namely the Christ, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So that's the ministry that he's given us. And we can't walk in the fullness of that ministry of reconciliation is drawing each one, drawing yourselves together to reconciling differences. It's taking and utilizing the fullness of forgiveness, receiving it and giving it away with the hopes and the attempts of full restoration and reconciliation as a peacemaker, because Jesus is peace. He gives us this ministry. So that's why when, if we stop short of that and say, okay, I forgive them, fine, and we don't feel that reestablishment of connection, then something's probably missing somewhere along the line. Maybe on both sides if there's an issue, or maybe it's on one, I don't know, you know. But either way, you're ultimately responsible for you, but that means that we are responsible, I'm responsible to walk in the fullness of receiving that ministry of reconciliation that he wants us to give. And it's going to look very different than what we might think, because if there's strain and struggle and that peace and ease, real peace and ease, not false peace and ease, but real peace and ease, and there's probably something God is trying to work out, and God will do it. I have a whole message on my heart that, because of time, about Joseph I want to share, and I won't be able to get to that today, but I do have something I want to share about that. But I think that the Lord wants to teach us about this level of justice in our own lives, so that we're really not partnering with injustice, thinking we're walking in justice. And those of you who know 1 John 4, 18, and 19, you can put that up real quickly, Amber, if you would. You're familiar with this, especially with the Father's love message. You know, this, we always speak this out. But I believe God's going to bring new light to this for all of us. 1 John 4, 18, and 19. I think she has it up there. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. There's a huge message here about fear that God wants us to say, to understand. I believe that the servant with the in Matthew 18 was someone who didn't walk in the love that was intended for him to receive from the king. He didn't receive that forgiveness in the fullness, that kind of justice. He didn't receive it. There was still fear, which enabled him or propelled him to release that kind of fear then over the one that he said, I'm not forgiving you. It's like, wow, this has to do with the actual forgiving power of the cross. And so if we aren't really tethered to the Father's heart in the way that he wants us to grow in that, I will say that we would end up with our decisions and our actions holding on to fear and not necessarily being able to release forgiveness to others, because it's part of the cross, it's the message. And so God wants us to be able to see, go to him directly for that purpose. And it will unlock us from prisons that we might have. And it might just be, you know, one thing. You might not be flowing in this all the time, or for me or for Pastor Bill. It might just be one thing, and the Lord will continue to just bring it up and bring it up. Or maybe from today, bring it up, and there might be one area that will just unlock us into, if we take the proper steps, it will unlock us into something so, so beautiful. So beautiful. To be able to extend the fullness of forgiveness means that things will change. Trust will increase. Everything will start to move. Closeness and intimacy will increase. Now, if someone came and chopped your legs off, I'm being really extreme here, and they said, I've been to the cross, would you please forgive me? And you did. You could actually have the restoration, the ministry of restoration, reconciliation with that person. If they didn't, and you're called to forgive anyway, you may not be in the same room for them, you know, for the rest of your life if they, you know, wanted to chop the rest of your head off. The rest of your body off. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, to take an extreme situation, like a mass murder or something like that. But we're talking about the brethren here particularly, not just our families outside that might not be the brethren. And so God is saying, you know, get this right within the church and watch what I do outside of the church. You can actually do both. And I think that's a time, it's a time for us that I want to grow in this. And what we don't want to do is wield something that feels and looks like fear to somebody else because we're not able to fully forgive ourselves. And that will only come as we aren't able to fully receive the forgiveness that God has, because there's all kinds of things. Now you may think, well, that's very simple here. I believe God's giving us a message to take to the Lord, not to justify why we can still hold pain and offense. God's not saying that. But he's helping us. He's giving us some tools of love that will help us, especially in the areas where we might say there is no fear. And God says, well, maybe so. Because if there was no fear, that would be easy for you to forgive, and it would be over. It's like, oh. It's very, very, you know, humbling to our hearts. Like, it's because of Jesus. So we want to spend a lot of time in his presence this year. More time in his presence than ever before, so that we can really get the proper perspective. And there might be tons of things going through your hearts right now, and that's good, you know, because I believe God's going to take us into a new place of just appreciating him and what he's done for us. And it's going to look like something different. And it's going to be walked out, and the Holy Spirit then will be able to feel at home in us, and there won't be that edge or that pulling away. You know, let me give you a quick, I wasn't planning on this, but let me just give you a very quick story. I'm not going to get into Joseph here, but this is a personal thing for me. This was a lesson that God wanted to teach me. This was back when my boys were small. My mother-in-law at that time, who has since gone home to be with the Lord, I was, you know, I'm sure pretty self-righteous about myself and being right, you know, about doing things right. I'm sure of that. The boy's father came to me and I said, hey, how's it been going, you know, with the family and such? And he said to me, well, my mom's offended at you. And I said, what? I was completely clueless. I said, why? Well, when she came with her mom and they like, you know, it was the way that they came in the front door. They took a look that I had given the wrong way. And I didn't have any odd in my heart, but I had to examine myself. The first thing I did was defend myself. And I said, I didn't do anything wrong. And he says, I'm just telling you. And then I said, was there anything else? And then he said, well, you made a comment about Christmas. I said, I made a comment about Christmas. What about it? Something about presents. Well, my attempt was to be kind and nice. But what I didn't take into consideration at that time was that she might have taken it wrong. And I didn't know that, and I didn't realize that. I thought it was an okay comment. But maybe, because I don't know, you know, where she was coming from, but maybe her life was filled with different things where there wasn't a lot of sensitivity. I don't know. But irregardless, I was responsible for me. So I remember saying to the boy's father, I said, that is so ridiculous. And he just said, oh, well. And it had been going on 3 weeks. Well, all of a sudden, when I first found out about it, I remember this, I was clueless completely. I went down in my basement, and I started yelling, screaming out to God and going, I can't believe this. I've never had a breach of relationship. Like, what the heck is that? I don't understand that. In my family, people don't take offense. You work it out. You go say, you know what, that hurt my feelings. I'm really sorry. And that's how I was raised. And so when this happened, I didn't know what to do with it at first. So I was down in my basement, and this took about 5 minutes, because the Lord told me, he said, you're being self-righteous, and you're judging this person. It's like, oh, great. So now what am I going to do? And so I called her up, and I had a real hello on the other end of the phone. And I don't know if she knew Jesus then or not for sure, but I will tell you what God did later. All I can say is, I said, I love you so much. I am so sorry that I have hurt or offended you with my words in some way. Would you please forgive me? I'm so sorry. I care about you. I love you. And she, this is over the phone, and I'd always had a really good relationship for many, many years, you know, good 10 years or 9 years, whatever it had been up to that point. And I said, would you forgive me? And she changed. She said, yeah, yeah. And it was instantly over. That spoke very highly of her, honestly. I'm not any, like, whoopee ding on what I did. I had to lower myself and realize I was self-righteous. And then say I judged her in that moment. And that there was insensitivity there somehow, I'm sure. Maybe not intended. Or she took it that way. Either way, it didn't make any difference. I cared about her. And maybe I wasn't wrong. I don't know, ultimately. But the Lord said, go and offer yourself. When you do that, if people are willing to forgive, things can completely turn and change. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. And they really will. But the thing is, it's one of the hardest things that we have to do. We can do, because it takes everything inside of us to extend the fullness, because we want to protect ourselves. And actually, we will end up ministering fear instead of love. From 1 John 4:18 and 19. And why? Because forgiveness isn't complete. If it's incomplete, there might be a distant forgiveness. Like, I forgive them. I could have done that in my basement. I forgive her. And probably wouldn't have had a restorative work. It was supernatural. When true forgiveness is wielded in the proper way, then it's supernatural. God does it. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. He comes in and, man, reestablishes connection. Relationship grows. We can choose to trust again. We don't have to be afraid. You don't want to partner with that fear. And God taught me that. And through that time, I've lived that the best I know how to do. And when I haven't, He's been very willing to show me so that I could go lower again. Whether it was true offense or perceived offense or whatever it would be, it's important. Very, very important. Because it's about relationship. And it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility as believers to walk without sin. We do. We have a responsibility to say, Lord, I'm going to you and I'm repenting to you, and if need be, to other people, because I want to be so freely flowing with forgiveness that I can do that and I will do that. And we don't want to hide behind, well, I don't have to go and say that to anybody else. I believe the fullness of forgiveness may compel us to do that, to restore situations and relationship, depending on the situation. You know? So, I believe Joseph is has a story, and you can read the scriptures. I just don't want to take the time to go into it right now. But, Josh, if you could just come up. Are you still in here? Yeah. We just want to pray, and I believe that the Father's love message is very strong, and I believe that if we have offense anywhere, that things can be perceived that may want to interrupt that, and it can be forever. And we need to see that. I mean, that's what Jesus as the ultimate servant of humility, the humble servant of Philippians 2 is like, and He became everything. It's really, you want to be seen in heaven as someone who can easily ask for forgiveness and easily not hold offense in heaven. And then if you're seen in hell that way, the tormentors will back off. Does that make sense to us? I hope so. Father, we just thank you right now. We're just going to ask you to touch our hearts with this extravagant love that you have, Lord, to be able to take us into this place of moving towards walking in a greater understanding of your forgiving power, Lord, and also releasing our hearts into your hands. Lord, that when we say we want to become unoffendable, that you're going to take us down a road and a path to be able to walk that out. You certainly did for Joseph. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you that your plans are perfect for us, and that you desire that we would be able to really walk without fear of reprisal in any way, but a graciousness that will hold our hearts to the effects of the cross and the resurrection. Certainly not picking up an offense towards people, having one, holding one, or even carrying somebody else's. And Father, that you would help us see that our tongue will be guarded. And if we make a mistake with our tongue, that we'll go quickly turn it around and not wait for the fires to burn and bring so much damage. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for the great release of forgiveness that you've given us, the mercy that triumphs over judgment. Father, that really you took the accusation upon yourself, Jesus, when you went to the cross. Every accusing spirit, every judgmental spirit, every offending spirit, every pervasive and perverted spirit, anything, Father, that was harmful at all, that would hurt any fearful spirit, any spirit of unbelief, any spirit of destruction, any spirit of annihilation, anything at all, came towards you in full measure because you're so amazing. Your amazing love freed us, Lord, from carrying that and being able to release people from prisons. But we have to be released from prison ourselves before we can be releasers, Lord, in the fullness. And Lord, that will come from the revelation of your heart at the cross. That will come from the forgiving love that is extended through your sacrifice. How can we ever thank you? How can we ever receive the fullness, Lord, that you have for us? The gratitude that's welling up in our hearts right now. For you have just taken us and thrown our sins as far as the east is from the west. That's amazing. You care that much for us. That you didn't come, Lord, to condemn us. You came to free us and lift us up. That the world would be completely brought into your forgiving love. That they would be reconciled to you. But that you, Lord, would use us as your ministers and ambassadors of reconciliation, the fullness, Lord, that will reestablish relationship and goodness to be able to propel us into the future without fear, without walls. Father, that you draw us into that place that when we say, Lord, that we love ourselves, it's because we so love you and appreciative of you. And then we can offer that to all that we meet and not withhold, not avoid, and not pull back. Lord, you never did that. Thank you, Lord. Show us, Lord. Show us, Lord, how we can do that. Show us, Lord, how Saul, who could go and murder Christians, became Paul as you revealed your mercy to him. Everybody had a choice. Thank you, Lord. Show us, Lord, how Stephen, so full of the Holy Spirit as a servant of yours, was able to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the echoing, at least, your heart that way, forgive them, which is what you said on the cross, Jesus. So, Father, we're contending this day for greater revelation of your forgiving power in us, for us, that we can also then receive it to be free, Lord, of the pain. Some of you may be feeling some pain just shaking, and it may be even anger shaking right now. When the Lord says, let my healing, forgiving power just come. This would be my justice for you. Let it come. You don't want to hold injustice. You don't want to do that. Let it come so the pain can be released and you can exchange it right now. Just exchange it for the Father's love, the justice that came from the full redemption and the full ministry of reconciliation. Let it come fully into your hearts more and more right now. Yes, Lord. Any place where our thoughts have matched up with offense in any way or judgment because of what we've seen or felt, or our own opinions, or whatever it would be, even if there is a measure of truth, irregardless, that we would receive forgiveness for that and that we would extend it to others. Holy Spirit, keep coming. Keep coming, Lord. Keep coming, Lord. That we wouldn't be people who demand payment as the servant did. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that fullness today. Thank you, Lord. Father, that we will let that pain that you want to take work for us in the proper way. That as we realize the source, the root, and why, and what we can do with it, that we'll let you take it and we give it to you, and we exchange it for your peace. It will enable us to trust you more. We trust you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Can we just, if you're able, if not, you can get on the floor, do whatever you want to do. If we can just worship right now. Just worship the Lord in His holiness as Josh leads us out. Because I believe that supernaturally the Lord's doing a restorative work as ministers of reconciliation here. First to receive and then to extend. Let it be, Lord. Let a supernatural work in our hearts in this place be pervasive, Lord. For your greater glory. For your greater glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. I just really believe that some of us, as we're receiving more of that forgiveness, are really seeing some people in our mind's eye that the Lord is will give you the freedom and will give you the ability by His stripes to be able to release them fully in forgiveness. Don't even worry about the outcome, but release them fully in forgiveness, forgiving power, being able to say, I forgive you. I can do this. I can do this with your power, Jesus. And I believe also as he gives you the names and the faces that you say to the Lord first. And then if you need to do something with that, then go do that with that person. If not, Holy Spirit may not. Depends on what it is. But if the Lord says, I want you to receive my forgiveness for your offense or your judgment or whatever it would be, if that would be the case, receive that from the Lord as well. Because of the forgiving power of Jesus. And then also then reestablish the fullness of a connection as the Lord would able. And if a party won't do it, if a party refuses that, you're responsible ultimately for you, so you're free. When you forgive fully from your heart and hold nothing back, it's not based on what they do or don't do. It's based on what Jesus has done for you. But if you contend for full healing, full forgiveness, nothing will be held back. Not partial, not distant, but the fullness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just encourage you with these words. And one thing I can add at the end is that when my former mother-in-law was dying of cancer, and the Lord used me to be able to go to her deathbed and lead her to Jesus. You never know what God's thinking. And so she passed on, and I knew that she received Christ in her hospital room. So God is very specific and intentional in the Spirit ministry of reconciliation. God bless you. We're going to also hear, Lord, from our Brazil team, and they're going to say something.
Oh, tears of joy!
All right. So we have a couple updates from the Brazil team that I'll try to read here on my little phone. And then I don't know if pictures are coming, but they might while we're talking. So on January 4th, it says, during our first afternoon in Heliopolis, we walked around the favela and invited children to come to our impromptu program that we were holding that afternoon. We stopped at one house and we met Jessica, a pregnant mother. Their incredibly small house was home for 11 people and she was worried about how to take care of another child. We prayed for breakthrough and she was very encouraged. At our outreach in the Mission House, Mike led the kids in singing several Portuguese songs. One of the young kids came up and was singing out with Mike on the stage. This is the first time that this had happened. That's awesome. We also performed the parable of the prodigal son, which demonstrated more of the father's love in the children, which they did respond to as well. So they are excited to be there in that section. And yes. So in the evening, our team visited Pastor Joseo's church, Casa de Jesus. Mike, Tom, Bethany, and Rachel shared what God had imparted to them during our powerful morning soaking time. Kenji, our friend and translator who had joined our team for the duration of the trip, shared a word from Isaiah 35, the same word that Pastor Marie Pat shared with Frontline on New Year's Eve regarding the highway of holiness. Troy tied the messages of others into a clear call for humility and dying to self, leading to cleansing which produces Christians who are soaring in the Spirit. As Mike began to sing prophetically over the congregation, people began to cry out to the Lord in repentance and humility.
Whoa.
Many present received powerful words of encouragement from the team members. Pastor Sarah was amazed at how everything our team shared tonight coincided with the messages Pastor Sarah had been giving in the previous weeks. There is a strong synergy in the Spirit between Frontline and Casa de Jesus.
Yes.
Worship that night reached an amazing height in the Spirit. Everyone sang, "Here I am," to worship in their own language. And Portuguese and English came together in such unity, harmony, and power. God is But wait, there's more. More released in Revelation in the morning. Worship at Pastor Joseo's church was incredible this morning. There was such an overflow of the Lord's presence from the night before. Tom shared further from John 12 about being the seed that dies in the earth in order to lift up Jesus, which will draw all people to himself.
Yeah.
Troy shared from John 15, exchanging our good plans and ideas for his plans, which leads to great fruit in our lives. Then Jill shared a vision that the Lord gave her of the Lion of Judah roaring down the streets of Heliopolis and the enemy being shaken. Yes, Lord.
Yeah.
Now the same lion is in all of us. Mike led worship with both English and Portuguese songs, and then transitioned to a time of ministry with people asking the Lord to reveal and to branch in us that needed pruning and stepping into being a friend of God. One special delightful experience took place when a three-year-old David, son of Pastor Sergio and Simone, anointed Troy and Tom with oil and prayed for them. David had been healed of a heart condition after Pastor Bill and Pastor Ray prayed for him 2 years ago. So amazing to see this little mighty warrior growing up in the Spirit. Yes, that little boy had a hole in his heart and you two prayed for him 2 years ago and he was completely healed. And so this morning during worship, he along with his parents anointed Tom and Troy with oil.
Come on.
Said, the two services brought a fresh connection to the Spirit between our two bodies. We are family with the same Spirit and the same heart. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the releasing in Brazil. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our Brazil team, our church.org, releasing your presence and your glory. And Lord, we thank you, Father, for these good reports that they'll increase in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Father, for safety and health and protection over each one. And Lord, we're calling in a mighty harvest, Father, this week, Father, in Heliopolis, Lord, in the city of God, favela, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that there will be pictures as well. In Jesus' name.